Time now for Connecting the Diocese. Connecting the Diocese is a production of the Diocese of La Crosse. Here's host Jack Socha.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for this Labor Day weekend edition of Connecting the Diocese. Some of you are listening to this as we broadcast it, others perhaps listening online. It may be a couple of days after the weekend, and you are actually listening on Labor Day itself if you're laying back and doing stuff. And, of course, there's others who are doing the traditional Labor Day things, like those who have cabins, going up and locking them up and getting them ready for winter because you're not going to go back again till spring. And for a lot of people who don't have cabins, a lot of projects going on. We are doing the same thing. We're doing a bunch of little stuff around the house. Well, that's a little. Some painting and other things we want to get done before the cold weather hits. So it's a Labor Day weekend like everybody else right here in our household. This show has always been for the Labor Day weekend, kind of a catch-up show where we pick up on a lot of little bits and pieces, things that didn't get said, things that are interesting going on, things that bear repeating, all kinds of stuff. So this is kind of a catch-all show, kind of a scrapbook that I enjoy. And of course, one thing I like to reemphasize is that not everybody has special time off on Labor Day weekend or even on Labor Day. If you're driving around right now and you're stopping at some place to get gas or get snacks or get lunch or whatever you happen to be doing or running into the grocery store, don't forget to smile and thank the folks who are working to help you enjoy your time off. And also, we have a special thanks going out to all of the emergency people going on there, the law enforcement folks who are patrolling the roads to make sure that no one gets into some kind of an accident, the medical people who are standing by, the folks with ambulances, the fire people who are standing by in case somebody has a campfire that gets out of control or their back deck catches fire, things like that. They're all out there on duty today, and so we want to thank them, not to mention the fact, of course, our military, who are always on the ready for anything going on, for people working in military bases all over the world on Labor Day. Let's also not forget the bus drivers and the Uber drivers and all those folks who are getting people from A to B, people working at places like AAA in case you have a problem on the road. And, of course, especially in our area, who can forget the fact that for farmers, there is no day off. Every single day, something has to be done. Animals have to be taken care of. Machinery has to be kept in good condition. Plans have to be made for the upcoming harvest, things like that. It's always a great time to just kind of take a step back and appreciate all the things that are going on around you and all the people that make those things possible. So, for everybody, happy Labor Day, and we'll be right back with Connecting the Diocese. We have a very big, important event coming up on September 13th. Bishop is extremely excited about it. Rural Life Day is an annual diocesan celebration observed on the fourth Wednesday of September. Part of the celebration is Mass on a farm with our bishop. This day is to highlight the uniqueness of rural life values and to rejoice in the way that rural life contributes to the church at large. Each year, one of the deaneries in our diocese hosts this celebration of our connection to and the dependence upon rural life. This year, the 42nd annual Rural Life Day celebration, again September 13th, 10 a.m. till 1:30 p.m. at Hyman Holstein's at 11875 U.S. Highway 10 West in Marshfield. So again, Marshfield, Wisconsin, it's going to be the Hyman Holstein Farm, 11875 U.S. Highway 10 West, again Marshfield. This day will be an absolutely remarkable time for anybody who's got some young kids who grew up in a, shall we call it, an urban environment. In my case, I never saw a cow until I married into a family that had a family farm, which happened to be not too far from Marshfield. And I got to spend several years working in radio in Marshfield, so I got to spend time seeing their lives and how they did things and the struggles they had and the wonderful times that were had by all. You can get a little taste of that, and your kids can see more of where stuff comes from on the special event on September 13th in Marshfield. Bishop Callahan, another city kid from the south side of Chicago, has come to really relish these events and will be celebrating Mass. Again, the 42nd annual Rural Life Day, September 13th, 10 a.m. till 1:30 p.m., Hyman Holstein's on Highway 10 West in Marshfield, Wisconsin. We plan to talk a lot more about the rural life projects the Diocese of La Crosse is involved in next week on this show, so don't forget to check that one out as well. But again, September 13th, Marshfield, Wisconsin. Make plans.
Some way, somehow, there is a way of connecting to God. I do relate to God as a supreme being, the maker of all things, and all of these different sorts of ways in which we talk. But nevertheless, as I make that connection, I start to realize that I am talking to God. I am doing something here. And that talking to God creates in me some sense of relationship. And it's an important thing to have. Now, I'm not talking about becoming, you know, holy in an extraordinary way, but I am becoming holy in a simple kind of way because God is speaking to me and I am speaking to God. And that needs to be expressed. That needs to be developed. It needs to be explored. Some way, somehow, we need to be able to connect with God.
That was a little excerpt of Bishop Callahan from a past show, becoming holy in a simple kind of way. It's a pretty darn good goal during Labor Day weekend or any time. There's a really interesting thing that goes on this time of year with schools restarting and, for example, a new generation of students showing up at college. It's called the Mindset List. It was originally done by Beloit College. Now Marist College has picked that up. And what it amounts to is this, is that if you're a professor, teacher, and frankly, in any other capacity, if you are talking with younger people, sometimes you use phrases that you understand because you've got some historical reference to it, and they can't figure it out because they have no idea what you're talking about. I'll give you an example that many years ago, back in the 70s, when these lit-up LED watches became briefly popular, there was actually concern that if these things really took over and watches that didn't have hands and second hands on them disappeared completely, nobody would understand what the term counterclockwise meant, because there would just be nothing in some young person's experience to even understand that. If they've never seen the clock face, all they've seen is digital numbers, how would they know what counterclockwise meant? Well, that didn't happen because watches kept going, clocks kept going, and we kind of got sick and tired of little things that lit up on our wrists. But the idea is still there. There's a whole bunch of stuff that an incoming group of people assume is the way it's always been. And your job is to basically not to tell them, no, you're wrong, but when you're talking to people, whether it be in RCIA, whether it just be in a conversation with your relatives, when you're talking to people like I was at a recent wedding, some references you make, you might just get blank stares because basically they have no idea what you're talking about. It does remind me of the old kind of jokey thing back from the East Coast, New Jersey, about the New Jersey father talking to his kid. He's going, well, you know, I know you think you know, but you know, I know you don't know, you know? Well, this is kind of what's going on. You know, you think you know that they know, but you know, they don't know. So with that in mind, I want to read you some things that the incoming class, the class of 2026, has in their heads. Okay, here we go. Number one, the class of 2026 has always thought that the most recognizable sports icon in the world is LeBron James. In the world of social media, even though Facebook has only been around since 2004, they believe it has always been around, and frankly, it's already old hat. They're moving on to other things like Instagram and TikTok. And well, you know, email, basically a necessary evil, used only when absolutely imperative. Now, this is very important for Catholic thinking, Catholic thought. Incoming students are the first generation in 50 years who now must include their own reproductive rights as part of their overall college decision. The recent Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade will affect so many decisions for young women who currently make up 59% of college students for America. A lot of important talks need to be done. In terms of global studies, the class of 2026 is the first generation since essentially the end of the Cold War that now is suddenly being concerned about the possibility of global conflict and nuclear war. The ongoing conflict between Russia and Ukraine is being delivered to them on their screens and on their laptops every single day in very visceral ways, and so they are extremely aware of the dangers ahead. And regardless, among other things in this discussion, whether you consider these things good or bad, the class of 2026 has grown up in an increasingly diverse environment, and suddenly they are seeing what they would consider regressing in that particular world of diversity because of laws being passed in various states regarding sexual orientation, gender identity, all kinds of things going on. So to them, they're saying things seem to be going backwards. And again, these are all challenges for people in RCIA and right from the pulpit as well. The incoming class of 2026, their students are still recovering from the mental health impact of COVID and COVID fatigue. Mental health has been an issue for some time, but the class of 2026 is still recovering from the effects of the pandemic on their mental health, the isolation and all the other things we've been hearing about. And also for the class of 2026, maybe some good news. This is the first time that there may actually be action taken to help somehow figure out how to handle the costs of their education. So they're looking forward to that, if it indeed happens. For many in the class of 2026, global warming is not a theory anymore. As far as they're concerned, it is done science. The world is changing. So this is another thing that they have on their minds. And in the world of fashion, of what the class of 2026 wears, there seems to be a bit of tension between those who are trying to be more sustainable in what they put on and those who are still very much interested in what is being called fast fashion. It seems that while they really do have a much better idea of how much energy it goes into, for example, making a t-shirt or something like that, and how much water is used, they still want to look cool. So those are some of the things to consider when you're talking to younger people for the class of 2026. But the other thing to keep in mind is that it doesn't mean that the previous year list has gone away. These things keep compounding. We can go back many, many years to the point where we were talking some years ago about how the fact that nobody in the class of fill in the blank has ever cranked down a window in a car. Many, if you were handing them a phone with a rotary dial, would not know how to use it. And most of them think that shampoo and conditioner have always come in the same bottle. And many also believe that if you go to a fast food place, there were always unlimited refills for your beverage. Oh, yes, and I forgot to mention one political thing, and that is that the class of 2026 basically thinks that Hillary Clinton has always been much more important than her husband. Reminds me of the old joke from a National Lampoon album about the person introducing a new group called Mega Something. You know, she goes, "This is the group Mega Wonder. They're supposed to be even more famous than the Beatles, whoever they were." Now, this is not in the mindset list, but I was looking at all of the stuff going on in space this past year. And now just recently, the folks from India have successfully landed a robotic craft on the surface of the moon. And there have been all of these independent companies, SpaceX and all these other ones, shooting people into space privately, and now working in conjunction with the government to take supplies up to the International Space Station and all this. Several years ago on Christmas, the show was running around Christmas Eve, I found a recording from late 1960s, before we had landed on the moon. And yes, folks, we have landed on the moon, believe it or not, in a little tiny craft, and then got back again too. But before that happened, they circled around the moon in a lunar spacecraft, and they happened to be up on Christmas Eve. And they sent back a broadcast to Earth that was just remarkable. And I think, frankly, all these years later, could they do that? Would they do that? Would they introduce religion into pure science of going around the moon in this tiny little fragile craft? I don't know. But I want to play it for you because it's so moving that, number one, there they were out there in space in this incredibly tiny little thing that was keeping them alive. And all these guys were hard science astronauts, you know? And what did they do? They did what you're about to hear. So this was originally broadcast around Christmas Eve a number of years ago on Connecting the Diocese.
We are now approaching lunar sunrise. And for all the people back on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8, and void, a white day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. God saw that it was good. And from the crew of Apollo 8, we close with good night, good luck, a Merry Christmas, and God bless all of you on the good earth.
Apollo 8, Christmas 1968. Long before the internet, long before all the high technology we have today, three guys deep in space communicating back to the good earth. What a moment. I was happy to be alive when that happened, and I hope that the future generations, the class of 2026 or whatever, can fully appreciate that moment. It was really great.
Yeah, I hear from people all the time telling us they hear this program. So a lot of folks are catching up on a lot of things they may not necessarily have known, not only about our diocese, but about our church, about our faith, through this radio program, which is really a blessing.
As Catholics, we care about the unborn child, we care about the immigrant, we care about the homeless, we care about the incarcerated. We have a great appreciation for the dignity of the human person. And so we won't necessarily be with one party or the other party on every issue, but we will always be about the dignity of the human person. And our work is a work of love.
We live and we hold life dear. No one is useless, and no one's life is to be discarded, and no one becomes, in one's frailty and sickness, no one becomes disposable.
Thank you for tuning in, Connecting the Diocese from the Diocese of La Crosse. We appreciate your sponsorships, we appreciate your support, and most of all, we appreciate your prayers. Jack Socia here with you on Connecting the Diocese on this Labor Day weekend. If it sounds like we have kind of a scrapbook of things we're putting on the air this weekend, we are. Because, you know, by the time the snow hits pretty hard, which is, thank goodness, not too soon, we will hit maybe show number 600. Got a lot of things in our past that are well said, a lot of thought-provoking things, not necessarily for me, mind you. No. I'm talking about our guests who had wonderful things to say. And so every once in a while, I will drop in something, some snippet that as I was listening to it, doing the editing, I went, hey, you know, that was a good thought, and I'm going to save that. So periodically in this show, I like to play little bits and pieces from previous shows that I thought were particularly interesting and perhaps a little bit more inspiring. Jack Socia here with you on Connecting the Diocese on this Labor Day weekend. If it sounds like we have kind of a scrapbook of things we're putting on the air this weekend, we are. Because, you know, by the time the snow hits pretty hard, which is, thank goodness, not too soon, we will hit maybe show number 600. Got a lot of things in our past that are well said, a lot of thought-provoking things, not necessarily for me, mind you. No. I'm talking about our guests who had wonderful things to say. And so every once in a while, I will drop in something, some snippet that as I was listening to it, doing the editing, I went, hey, you know, that was a good thought, and I'm going to save that. So periodically in this show, I like to play little bits and pieces from previous shows that I thought were particularly interesting and perhaps a little bit more inspiring. Now, having said that, let's go, well, some would say from the sublime to the ridiculous. No, that's not really the right thing to say, but Paul Sadek, who is a regular in Catholic radio and is now continuing to do production work, even though he is no longer a regular employee of any Catholic network, but he's still being used by them, is frequently my guest. We talk about books. We talk a lot about movies. We even talked about his travel to Lourdes with all kinds of in-depth little details, which I thought were fascinating. Well, Paul is joining us right now, so let's go talk to him and see what he has to say and suggestions for some things for this Labor Day. Here we go.
Catholic News and Interviews. This is Connecting the Diocese.
Well, as promised, he has become somewhat of a tradition on these kinds of holidays, particularly particularly Labor Day. Paul Sadek, who is still working in the media business, now is an independent contractor, as am I, providing content for Catholic radio. And how you doing, Paul?
Well, hanging in there one day at a time, you know.
That's, we're both having fun. It's kind of fun to do the stuff you really like to do in the radio business and not have to deal with all of the other stuff going on.
Nobody looking over your shoulder.
Yeah, and not so many meetings and things like that, which is kind of nice. But it's good. Yeah, it's a fun thing. We're both happily chattering away as we do. I wanted to have you on because we traditionally, on holidays like this one, where people may have time on their hands, and also in some areas, it could be once again a return to that pretty close to 100 degree weather. In other areas, not. But, you know, people maybe get rained out on their picnic or whatever happens, and they have to figure out what they're going to do. So I thought we would each mention in a few minutes a couple of movies that we think are amusing to watch, and whether they be new or old, and, you know, pretty much family-oriented kind of stuff. But also, as I was mentioning at the beginning of the show, this is Labor Day, and for one thing, there's an awful lot of people working on Labor Day. I mean, servicing everything that you're doing. But also, there's a lot of people we see on a regular basis that we just take for granted. You know, they do their thing, and even I just came back from a wedding. I even was thanking some of these people who were making sure that the outdoor reception, I should say, went off well. You know, they kept coming around taking your paper plates and keeping the place clean and doing all this stuff. And they got to take down all the... It's a lot of work. And they were good, I would call them performance values. They were very nice people. So, and it wasn't like they were expecting it, but I was just telling them, you guys did a good job. And I appreciate what you're doing.
Oh, you know? That's cool.
Yeah,
it's always good to thank people.
Yeah, exactly, and to let them know that you even notice them, that they're not just something that is bolted to the floor behind a cash register, you know.
Yeah,
and to ask how their day is, how it's going, and you know, things like that. So, anyway, if you got any particular people that you always think of when it comes to working hard, now's your chance.
Well, you told me to come up with somebody, and the one person who coming back into my mind was my dad. Now, he died back in 1971, so that's a long time ago. But my brother and I talk on the phone about 3-4 times a week, and we reminisce a lot. And one thing I've always said is that Dad was a good, honest man. He worked hard. He wasn't around as much as he wanted to be because he was a salesman, but he did his darndest to keep the family going.
Yeah. And what, let's see, you were growing up in the 50s, I'm assuming, right?
Mostly the 60s.
Okay, mostly the 60s. I was growing up a little bit earlier than you were. And one thing that hit me, again, about these people working, we always kind of think back at some of these years, in my case, the 50s especially, where you always got the feeling that people just like to kind of relax and barbecue in the backyard and watch Ozzie and Harriet on TV. And, you know, and it was kind of like, well, kind of a boring life, wasn't it? And it occurred to me that for these people who were relaxing, basically, trying to take it easy, that not that many years before, like 10 years, less than 10 years, they were in World War II.
Yep.
You know, my Uncle Jim, who was an insurance adjuster out in Los Angeles, he was a tank commander in the Battle of the Bulge.
And the mothers were working in factories.
My mother was making the inflators for those life jackets that pilots wore, you know?
That's right.
And here it is, you know, like 1955. It's only 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, we think about how long ago it was since 9/11. And, you know, that's even longer.
Yeah.
So it's just, when it comes to thinking about these people in the 50s and how, when you look at the pictures, you know, they look like everything is kind of just a little boring. Consider the circumstances.
Right. Yeah.
Consider the circumstances.
It was a respite from a terrible time.
That's a very, very good word. It was a respite and a well-deserved one. And we've got people now who are looking for respite as well. Got a lot of people who were in 20 years of war here. It's very interesting. And yet they're back doing their jobs, doing stuff. You never can tell. You know, the guy who was delivering stuff in the UPS truck, boy, he could have been in an armored personnel carrier not that much earlier. You know, it's very interesting. And I was talking to one of the relatives, a relatively young woman, who has been a nurse for several years. She has decided, after a number of years of nursing, she wants to become a hospice worker.
Oh, that's an honorable profession.
I said to her exactly the same thing. And you can't become one right out of nursing school. You have to have been a nurse for a while to do this. But this is going to be a full-time thing for her. And I said, it's a noble profession. Yeah, what a responsibility.
I was an extraordinary Eucharistic minister at a hospital for a while. And every once in a while, I'd have to go up to hospice, and it was very edifying. That's the best way I can put it.
Yeah, it's a very big deal for her. So, and she's very happy that she's doing it. She's found something that she feels is really what she wants to do. But you know, even I go to these. We have a local IGA food store. And most of the people living there, or rather working there, they are practically living there, are family, and it's a family operation. But you go in, and they're always restocking the shelves and doing all this stuff constantly because, you know, everything goes out the door every 5 minutes, and you got to put stuff back in every 5 minutes, or else there's nothing there. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. Yeah. And everybody, I've just tried to be more cognizant, especially on Labor Day. There's people working right now. They don't have the day off, you know. And heck, when I was in regular broadcast radio, I didn't ever have it.
Same here.
Yeah, you had to be the network star to have the day off on Christmas Day or whatever it happened to be. So we hear you out there. But, you know, we've got, and also I'm going to be talking next week about, we have some family farm days and some big events coming up in our diocese. And this has been a really rough time for anybody involving farming, with the drought going on and all this stuff. There's a lot of nervous nail biting going on. I'll be finding out much more about that next week. But I just like to make it apparent that we aren't forgetting you people who are out there. You are recognized. And I think most people understand that there's so much work done. I don't care what it is. There's so much work just to keep the store open, to keep the car running, to keep the bus going, the school bus drivers, you know. It's a special kind of person who does that stuff. But it's good. I'm glad you mentioned your dad and what he did. And, you know, my dad was a bus driver. He drove people commuters between New Jersey and New York City.
Oh, wow.
And he did he retired, after many years. If you added up the number of people that he moved back and forth every day times how many years, hundreds of thousands, you know, never had an accident. No one ever got killed. Nothing bad ever happened. No slid off the ice. Nothing ever happened the whole time. And the only thing I thought was funny was that at Christmas time, some of his customers who had been commuting with him for years would give him a bottle of booze.
Yeah.
Now, do you really want to give your bus driver a bottle?
I don't know.
I'm just kidding, but it struck me as kind of funny, you know. Yeah.
My dad had some territory in Wisconsin, and one of his claims to fame was a client called the Duncan Yo-Yo Company.
Whoa!
In Luck, Wisconsin. I'm sure it's not there anymore, but at the time it was, and Mr. Duncan still ran it. And there was one time I needed a string for my yo-yo. And my dad said, write to Mr. Duncan. I did, and I got a nice note back and a string.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that reminds me of one of our friends who's unfortunately long since passed, who was working with Relevant Radio. He used to be a regular old 1970s disc jockey kind of crazy guy, and he told them the corniest jokes you've ever heard.
Oh, yeah.
And he would have so much fun telling the jokes that you'd laugh even if the jokes really weren't that funny. But
I remember Steve very well.
Yes, and he would come up, he'd go, Jack, Did you hear about the freighter coming from Taiwan that sank? It was a whole freighter full of yo-yos. Sank 27 times.
Yeah. That sounds like something Steve would come up
yeah,
with.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it was very good. You know, it's also, we just, again, there's just people working behind the scenes. Look at the power grid. We've been so lucky. We haven't had any trouble up here at all. Occasionally, we've gotten a note, email saying, kind of conserve what you're doing, please, because, you know, the grid is really pumping out a bunch of stuff right now. But there's so many people out there that make our lives livable. And, of course, we also, whenever we talk about people working on holidays or otherwise, all the folks who help out at the churches, the volunteers who just come in and you know, clean up stuff and do things and try to make life easier. It's just that we are surrounded by people who support us.
Yeah.
And we don't always think about it, how easy we have it compared to whatever. That when you go to the gas station and get a tank of gas, somebody had to drive a truck of that gas there to fill up the big tank underneath
That's
the ground.
True. You know? That's right.
Tom Thibodeau from Viterbo, the servant leadership fellow.
We need each other. Our lives are sacred and social.
Is always talking about that, saying, look at the links between you and the rest of the world and how there are things you do for other people.
Sure.
You know, that you would maybe don't even realize the impact you had. But it's very interesting to think about stuff like that. But anyway, I have a question for you now.
Fire away.
If suddenly you had a group out there and it rained or it was 100 degrees and you were not going to go out and barbecue outside or whatever the case may be, and you said, well, let's just go home and watch a movie.
I've got one.
What are you going to suggest for this weekend and for the holiday?
Monty Python and the Holy Grail, one of the very first Monty Python movies, a beautiful satire on the King Arthur legend. I thought it was absolutely hilarious.
There's some music in that one, too, is there not?
Oh, there was music in every Monty Python.
Yeah. Okay. That one's available probably on Amazon and places like that.
Oh, it's all over the place. Yeah.
That's very good. I have a couple I would mention to you. And the first one, this is so silly. I happened to run across it on YouTube. It is free because it is so old, by 1952.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful copy of it on YouTube. Androcles and the Lion.
Oh, my. With Danny Kaye?
No, it had another guy in it. I can't think of his name. But it also had all these actors who you expected to see in more serious movies. Victor Mature.
Oh, my.
And a bunch of them. It is so, I haven't seen this movie since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know the story, I mean, Androcles is this young boy who becomes Christian, and he runs across a lion, which, of course, is normally, you know, but the lion has got a problem, and it's in pain because it has a big thorn stuck in its foot, and it can't get it out. And he gingerly goes over, and he pulls the thorn out of the lion's paw and then runs away. Well, he grows up. He's in Rome back in the days of the persecution of the Christians. I'm making a long story short here. There are a lot of nuances in this movie. And he is chosen to be thrown to the lions. And so they're in the Colosseum, and they're all waiting to see this guy get ripped apart. And here's poor Androcles, who's just this quiet little guy.
Alan Young,
yes, that's who it was. Thank you.
And Mr. Ed's owner.
that's right. I had forgotten about that. He seemed to enjoy animals a lot. But anyway, he's out there in the middle of the Colosseum, and the lion is starting to come out of the back, you know. And he goes on his knees and he puts his hands together to pray. And the lion comes up behind him and recognizes him because it's the one whose paw he fixed.
Right.
Uh-huh. And it begins to nuzzle him. And of course, the crowd can't figure out what the heck is going on. And he actually stands up with it. And, you know, obviously in the movie, they had a real lion, but for the close-up parts, they had a guy in a lion suit, which you notice nowadays when you're older. But the lion's got its paws on his shoulders, and they're dancing around in the Colosseum together. And it's just delightful. And then he gets out of the Colosseum. They open up the gate, and of course, the lion follows him. And here's the lion chasing all these Romans. But anyway, it's on YouTube. It's in black and white. It's a silly movie. But again, you know, it was only a few years after the horrors of World War II. And it was kind of fun to see these actors playing parts that were not serious. And it's a beautiful copy of it. You know, there's no commercials in it. Anyway, Androcles and the Lion is really funny to see.
As long as we're talking about Alan Young, I'll mention that he was in both versions of The Time Machine, 1960 and 2002. His role in the 2002 remake was very small, but it was what you might call a cameo.
Sure.
In the 1960 version with Rod Taylor, it was a major supporting role. Quite the actor.
Yeah, he's quite good. And he played an understated part as Androcles. He was just this quiet little guy who really wasn't trying to cause any trouble. But it was very nice. Now, I have not watched the entire movie yet. But I have begun to watch the latest Raiders, and probably the last, Raiders of the Lost Ark. And what's amazing about this is that the beginning is a flashback, you know, back where he's fighting the Nazis, as he always seemed to be doing. But this was not old footage. And, you know, they computer enhanced Harrison Ford.
Okay.
And you cannot tell. This was not a deep fake. This wasn't like they created him from scratch, but they put the computer on his face and said, fix it. make him 25 again. and it did. And then, you know, then the movie goes on, and that was a flashback, and now he's a professor who is really almost post-retirement age. So that's as far as I've gotten so far.
But. And as long as we're talking about movies, I'll bring up the one that I brought back from France this summer. As many of you know, I went to Lourdes for about a week and came home with a movie called Je m'appelle Bernadette. Now, I've seen The Song of Bernadette with Jennifer Jones and Vincent Price many, many times. That was an excellent movie, but it was based on a historical novel. So there are some fictional aspects thrown into it for dramatic effect. This is more of a historical record, Je m'appelle Bernadette, and fortunately it was available in several different languages. So I watched it in English, and Bernadette comes off as much less of a frail little thing than Jennifer Jones was in Song of Bernadette. I found it a very good movie.
Interesting, yeah. I just finished watching one that I ran across that's called Translated, and I was mostly curious as to who put it together, because this was by all means an indie movie. The story was that it starts out with back at the time of the apostles, with the execution of Paul. Okay, and they've got this guy, you know, and he's all dirty and in a cave, and they've got the big wooden plaque around the front of him, and they're hauling him out and laying his head on a stump or something. And as they pull the sword down to cut off his head, he is suddenly transported to modern times, to Rome, Oregon. Okay. And he's on the side of the road in Rome, Oregon, and he has no idea where he is or what has happened. And a young trucker stops and picks him up, figuring he's a lost homeless guy. And it's a cute movie because little by little, I mean, it's very funny that, you know, he doesn't obviously speak English. And this guy takes him back to his apartment where his, you know, his roommate is there. And they say, what is this thing written on this piece of wood? And the guy gets out his smartphone with Google Translate and takes a picture of it, and it says Paul of Tarsus, you know.
Oh my.
And so they begin doing stuff where he writes on a whiteboard, and then they translate it with the phone. It's a cute movie, and at first I thought it was going to be a strictly Southern Baptist evangelical movie, which it does lean towards. However, they the first thing they do to enlist some help to figure out what this guy is doing is they enlist a local pastor and also a local rabbi who are meeting at this restaurant, and the rabbi's talking to him, and the guy says, this man is not speaking current Hebrew. He's speaking ancient Hebrew, and you know, he's talking. And anyway, it goes along, and I'm not going to tell you more about it because it's a cute movie. I wouldn't go out of my way to watch it, but the nice thing was everybody was kind in this movie.
Oh, you know, cool.
Everybody was kind, and that if you look at the credits at the end of the film, which are extensive because this was done on a budget. Some family funded this movie. I don't know who it was. And the little things like the truck that the truck driver was driving in, you know, had on the side of it, you know, the Fern Brothers Trucking or whatever it was. And that was actually the real company. They loaned him the truck. But they had advisors. They had a Catholic church advising. They had a synagogue advising. They had a Buddhist group advising. They had a Muslim group advising. They even had what they claimed was an expert on the scars of Paul, so they would have them properly put on him.
Oh, how cool.
But, yeah, I was quite amazed. And an enormous supporting cast, because there were churches full of people and things like that going on. You know, a real sweet scene where the one roommate of this guy really was one of the nuns, beyond nuns. He was the nothing, right? And towards the end of the movie, he, of course, sees the value of Christianity. And here's Paul. And see, they had him getting almost, you know, beheaded at the beginning to make it completely unambiguous that this character is not a delusional character who thinks he's Paul. He is Paul, okay?
Okay.
Huh? Here's Paul taking him to a river to baptize him.
Oh, how cool.
Can you be imagining? Yeah, I mean, not that you're being baptized by Paul. Anyway, it was a very sweet movie. It was, you know, I mean,
I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah, not perfect. The transitions between the segments fade in and fade out, and the language is a little on the wooden side, but there was a sincerity and sweetness through this film that was palpable.
Okay.
And the fact that they used interdenominational help to put the movie together.
Well, that's cool. I've seen so many so-called Christian movies, which are just garbage.
Yeah, they're too much, you're rotten and we're not kind of stuff going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this one had some much better flavor to it. So it's called Translated. I'm sure it's probably, I would not be the least bit surprised if it was on YouTube, because you know how these super indie movies are. They never get into distribution.
Sure.
And sometimes Amazon grabs them anyway, just to put them up there to have more stuff to show. But yeah, there's a handful of things you can look at. I don't know how the Indiana Jones movies can end. It's produced by Disney, along with Lucasfilms.
Right.
And so it's full production value, crazy exploding trains and all that stuff, you know. But we'll see what happens. I'm kind of curious to see how they deal with the Indiana Jones now being, you know, way past retirement age and see what happens.
But yes,
it was very interesting seeing the beginning of the show, trying to figure out how they did it. It was not a stunt double. It was Harrison Ford literally computer transformed, which I thought was kind of interesting to see.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's exactly crazy. You have any plans to do anything for Labor Day?
Labor Day weekend, I am going to visit our mutual friend, Matt Beardsley, who is an engineer for Relevant Radio. He works at the Lincolnshire headquarters in Illinois, but lives in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
All right, very good.
And I'm headed there on the train, and we're going to do some brats and play some music and just veg out for a long weekend.
Oh, that's very nice. Yeah, this is the time of year when, if one has a cabin, you go up to kind of like close it up for the year and things like that. And also for people like us who do not have cabins, it's trying to get a whole bunch of work done that you didn't get around to this summer. So as we speak, my wife is painting some stuff in the laundry room. We have been just moving stuff around. But you know what happens is, this seems to be a rather common thing. We buy furniture and we get it home and it's too big.
Oh, yeah.
We have an 1890 farmhouse, and the rooms were not large. And this sofa or whatever it was looked really good in the showroom, and you get it in here, and it's kind of like, what? So we're relocating furniture. We have a wooden bench that we bought, which is not padded. It's all wood. But it's living in the garage now. Now that the garage has been insulated, we're going to try to make it into something out there. But this is the kind of stuff we're doing. I'm going through stuff, you know, to take stuff to donate. And so that pretty soon we're going to get busy with other things going on. But this is our weekend, too.
I had an incident like that one time when we moved to our house in Sioux Falls. We brought a couch with us that we were planning on putting in the basement. There was no way we could get it down the steps.
Anything that we get up here, with the exception of maybe like a small drawer or set of drawers, we have to buy a kit and build it up here. And
so when I moved to my apartment, I brought with me an old roll-top desk. I'm on the third floor, no elevator. I had my son-in-law and my daughter help me haul it up the steps. I said, I don't know how I can thank you for this. And Adam said, don't move again.
You'll notice we haven't been doing book recommendations on these shows for a while. That's because I haven't been reading much. I'm trying to force myself to read more and watch movies less. And so I thought, kind of like getting over some kind of addiction to movies. One of my favorite movies of all time is called Funeral in Berlin, based on the book by Len Deighton.
Oh, yes.
And now I'm reading Funeral in Berlin. And also in this case, I did not realize that the author, Len Deighton, he was born in 1929. And he spent an enormous amount of time living in Berlin. So he knew Berlin like the back of his hand when he wrote this book.
Oh, cool.
And there's a couple of backstories. For those of you who are, you go get a go look at Funeral in Berlin. Keep this in mind that one of the main actors, I think his name was Paul Hubschmidt, I think I've got to pronounce right, and Eva Renzi, who was a new star, fell in love during the movie, the making of the movie, and lived and had a long, happy marriage.
Oh, wonderful.
Isn't that nice for a change?
Yeah, it is nice to hear.
Yeah, and she was a real doll. I'll tell you, good old Paul made out great. But and of course, the movie holds up well, even though Berlin is gone. And also, there's some very interesting footage of East Berlin and that stuff. So for people who don't really know much about that, it's kind of a good movie to watch. Funeral in Berlin, a real thriller as well. Uh-huh. And then read the book as well. Well, Paul, I tell you what, I hope you have a restful, good holiday.
And, I'm looking forward to it.
And, you know, as usual, if there's something exciting in your life going on, we'll be talking again, of course, who knows when, but we'll figure it out. Thanksgiving or something like that. We'll come up with some things to chat about as well.
And before long, it'll be time to watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh, you like the heavyweights, don't you? That's good. Yeah, I'm a sucker for all of the variations of the various Christmas Carol movies, including the one from last year, which whose name I forget. It wasn't Scrooged, was it? It was something like that. But it was very funny movie. Good thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the holidays, but you know they'll be here soon enough. Probably, I would say in a week and a half, they'll start putting Christmas decorations up in the stores.
Yeah, very soon. Yeah,
very, very, very soon. Yeah, pretty soon. Anyway, Paul, you take it easy, and we will talk to you again,
too,
okay?
Jack. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Connecting the Diocese.
There's not a human being, I don't think, who has anything to do with Jesus in any kind of way, you know, doesn't understand what this means. And if we're into any kind of engagement with the activity of God who chooses to come among us in the flesh, what an incredible gift. You know, what an incredible gift. And then that does make a difference. What God loves about us, what God intends when he creates and gives us the ability to be so involved in the world in which he creates.
Another little snippet of wisdom from Bishop William P. Callahan, the Bishop of the Diocese of La Crosse. There's a lot more to be found at the diocesan website, dioclc.org. You can go there and there's a pretty good menu system where you can go through and find things. You can look at homilies. You can read things. There are coming events coming up. Just all kinds of things. There are various priests who have recorded videos. You can hear previous shows from Connecting the Diocese, all in the same place by going to diolc.org. And very important, there also is a prayer request form. It can be completely anonymous. You can just type in what your prayer request is and hit submit. And trust me, these prayers are read. They are read, and we have people who are praying for you, everything from the Franciscan sisters to our priests, all over the diocese. So if you have a request to do, please go to diolc.org and go to prayer requests and go to make one because, well, prayers do work. Jack Socia back here in the studio on this Labor Day weekend. These kind of shows that we do on these special weekends or holiday weekends are kind of fun. They're kind of a clearinghouse for lots of little bits and pieces that don't really fit into a full one-hour show. Next week, of course, we are going to be back talking full-time about the Rural Life Day and the importance of the rural families, also the Seed Project and Project Milk and other things. It's going to be a really interesting show, so I'm looking forward to getting that ready to go for next weekend as well. I mentioned earlier in the hour that we had the mindset, the what was coming up on the class of 2026 as they go into college. Well, it was kind of an interesting, I won't say a cultural shock, although it was amusing. I have not been to a wedding for quite a few years. Of course, my own wedding was decades ago, so bears no resemblance whatsoever to what's going on today. They were still playing LP records at the dance. But anyway, we went to this wedding, and then the reception was outdoors. It was on some larger family property, and it was kind of neat because some of the family members had cleared away some undergrowth that was kind of, you know, not looking so nice, and then they even rented a fogger and sprayed for mosquitoes before the event. Everybody pitched in. The bride and her friends went around to some of the beautiful trees that were in the immediate area and wrapped them in those LED lights that run on little penlight batteries that people buy at Christmas time. So it looked kind of like a fairyland once the sun went down. And so it was very, very nice. It was very good. They did not have a big wedding cake. They had a little one, which they cut ceremoniously. They had cupcakes for everybody else. That was a new twist, which apparently is something being done. And speaking of twist, to celebrate Connecting the Knot, they had soft pretzels. And also, because this was outdoors, they had a rather large tent, which they rented, and it was filled with real furniture. They had an actual wedding planner help out with this stuff, so they had a lot of connections as to where to get things. But instead of having a catered meal, which would have required waiters and all kinds of people, they had three food trucks, one with Thai food, one with Mexican food, and one with some Italian food. It all worked out extremely well. I went over, and before the whole reception really got going, and I chatted briefly with the DJ, the guy playing the music and doing the emceeing of the various things that were going on, and I asked him how long had he been doing this. And he said, about 10 years. And so I said to him, what has changed in the past 10 years that comes to mind? And he thought about it, and he says, actually, fairly recently, what has happened is that the bride, or sometimes someone in the bride's party, but most often the bride, wants to sing a song. They want to sing kind of like a karaoke version of their favorite song. And so what they have to do is they have to go, the DJ, that is, has to go find the song, which probably isn't much trouble, but then using a computer program, and he mentioned what it was, it literally removes the original vocal from the music, so nothing but the background music remains. And then they put this on over the speakers, and then, for better or worse, richer or poorer, the bride or whoever it is sings the song. Again, this is something that I'm familiar with the technology. I've never had to use it, but it's just one of those things that, you know, in my wildest dreams, I didn't think that at a reception, I figured maybe they could have a singer come on, maybe somebody, you know, like that, but it never occurred to me that the bride might want to do it, or heaven forbid that the bride and groom might want to do it together. It's different. Another thing that was not really terribly different, but made much more efficient, was you've all heard about the bridal registry. Usually they used to go to a department store or somewhere, and they would list a bunch of stuff they wish they would get, which is a good idea. Well, now it's done online through one company. And so you simply look online and they want this chinaware and they want this kind of toaster and they want this kind of mixer and da 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 da. And you basically can chip in to buy it or buy the whole thing, whatever you happen to want to do. There is an automated reminder system that contacts by email the bride and groom, I guess 30 days or whatever the length it is after the reception, to make sure that they sent thank you notes. Looks like we're running out of time for the show. I want to thank you for joining us. I want you to have a good, safe, happy Labor Day weekend holiday. And I'm going to leave you with what I consider my all-time favorite Bishop compilation over the past 10 years. So I'll catch you again next week. Thanks for listening.
And let us pray then as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. The ability of people to come to Mass, to participate in the sacraments, to truly use the church for everything that they possibly can in terms of all the benefits that are provided for their souls, the peace of mind, the comfort, the solace, the ability to know that they are loved by God, to know that in each and every heart, the seed of God's love speaks most eloquently. And the church is a voice for that. The church is a means by which they can come into contact most vividly and extraordinarily with the presence of God in their lives. Live and we hold life dear. No one is useless, and no one's life is to be discarded, and no one becomes, in one's frailty and sickness, no one becomes disposable.
He offers a call of evangelization to go out onto the outskirts, to those who are the outcast, and to those who do not feel welcomed, while continuing to nurture and support the ministries that make this possible.
The basic understanding of all of this is Christian teaching. Christian teaching reminding us that we are made in the image and the likeness of God, that God created us, God had a plan in creating us. No one of us is a mistake, no one of us is an accident. All of these various sorts of things which are at the base of Christianity. If there's a bunch of people who believe in that, then we start to understand how these people can change the world as individuals and as groups.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Christ be with me. Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me. Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me. Christ beneath me, Christ above me. Christ in quiet, Christ in danger. Christ in hearts of all that love me. Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. I bind myself unto thy name, the strong name of the Trinity, by invocation of the same, the three in one, the one in three, of whom all nature hath creation, eternal Father, Spirit, Word. Praise to the Lord of my salvation. Salvation is of Christ the Lord. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.